It's time for the Believer, Unbeliever, and In-Betweener podcast. Joining in on the conversation as three friends discuss socially relevant topics in view of biblical truth, where scripture meets skepticism. Welcome your hosts, Stephanie, Michelle, and Cheryl.
Welcome back, our friends. Welcome to the Believer, Unbeliever, and In-Betweener. Guys, I wanted to share with you today what's been on my mind for quite a long time. Not just political extremism that's going on and how it's affecting otherwise close relationships, but the blurring of religion and politics and how that's causing an even greater divide between us all. So before we get started on this religion slash politics discussion, I want to first go around and have us introduce ourselves again to you all.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Stephanie Stanton, the believer of the show.
I'm Cheryl, the unbeliever.
And I am Michelle, the in-betweener. Welcome.
All right. Yes. So guys, I mean, politics alone are no longer, at least from what I remember when I was younger, it's no longer about policy and the greater good and community safety and welfare, or us debating whether, you know, the tax percent should be 32 or 39. It's just no longer that kind of policy issue that we can kind of, all right, I don't agree with you, but we can get past. Those days are just gone.
Gone.
And
yeah, it seemed like there's a lot of polarity. Like, you can't even just have a simple conversation with someone without it triggering like a whole snowball of emotion.
Politics today are just, it's just on display who we are at our very core. And I just feel like it's tearing relationships apart. And I can't be the only one. I'm sure our audience, someone in our audience feels this way and is struggling with this. Because politics are no longer about what we think. It's about who we are. And we're all feeling personally attacked when we, you know, now that we're debating about abortion or gun rights or gender or gay marriage, you know, it's all personal attacks now. It no longer has anything to do with a policy that's going to further our, you know, the good of the earth or the good of the generations. So, you know, and then when you bring in the evangelicals and the Christian nationalism arguments, that's just thrown me over the edge. I don't know about the rest of you. So, you know, before I go any further, I'd love to get either of your thoughts or feelings on any of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for me,
been an issue for any of you?
It's not an issue for me, really. I don't follow politics. I don't subscribe to politics. I don't believe any politician. I find that they're all crooked. They're all cheaters. Well, in my opinion, I feel that what they did was with the election, it was illegal. I know. I watched movies and I saw documentaries. We have this proof. That bothers me. That happened.
You have an election denier on.
Oh yeah, no, I do. I do. there's no doubt. I mean, I watched 2000 Mules. That was a documentary that really flat out showed documentation. They undercover surveillance and
Michelle,
all that.
Michelle, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's true though. I mean, it is so true. It is so true. So anyway, so that's where I stand with politics. I've never subscribe to politics because I don't trust them. Even before that, I didn't. But what's happening today in the world right now is, it's just awful.
Michelle, you're cutting in and out.
Oh, okay. How's this? Better? I'm hugging the microphone.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. And then as far as what's going on, whatever the politics or nationalism, which I've just really never really heard of, but I do have the definition of nationalism. And what it says here is Christian nationalism is Christianity affiliated religious nationalism. Christian nationalists primarily focus on internal policies, such as passing laws that reflect their view of Christianity and its role in political and social life. In countries with a state church, Christian nationalists in seeking to preserve the status of a Christian state, upholds, and this is a big anti-establishment position. Christian nationalists support the presence of Christian symbols and sanctuary, statuary in the public square, as well as state patronage for the display of religion, such as school prayer and the exhibition of nativity scenes during Christmas, Christmas or the Christian cross on Good Friday. Yeah, I agree with that.
That's totally a mouthful. That.
It is a mouthful.
Can you help me understand what you just said?
Well, I'm seeing what it's saying. I know what it's saying to me. It's funny. What it's saying to me is that, yeah, they're taking, you know, God out of schools and out of, yeah, the public squares, like the nativity set, everything has to be politically correct.
Well, hang on. Can you just back up and first let us know if you're even on board with it, or you think it exists, or you think it's good?
I think it's bad. I think that, you know, we shouldn't take God out of schools, and we shouldn't take God out of
state. No, I meant, so you agree with Christian nationalism then?
I would say reading this, I guess I would. I'm not going to assign myself to like a sect of I'm a Christian nationalist. No, I am a Christ follower.
And no, I get it.
And I go by what the Bible says, what God is saying. I'm not going to go by what anybody else is saying, but what God is saying to me. So that's what I go for. And I'm seeing the damage of taking God out of schools. I'm seeing the things that are going on in this world when they, you know, with man of the year or woman of the year is a man. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the heck is going on?
Yeah,
I feel like we're living in an upside down world.
That could certainly be a weird rabbit hole that we don't have to go down. But in general, it sounds like you don't believe in separation of church and state, which is what our nation is founded on. Mm-hmm. So we certainly differ there. I mean, I believe this should be a secular nation so that people can practice their religion, their different religions freely. You can't have freedom of religion if you don't have freedom from religion. And so if it's a Christian nation and there's Christian privilege, you know, that oppresses everybody else. So that's my thought. And I can share my
Cheryl, can I just interject something on the heels of that?
Sure.
I want to read the First Amendment of the Constitution because it directly addresses this issue.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So the First Amendment of our Constitution basically says that the Congress, the government, can make no law in respect to any established religion. And it can also not prohibit the free exercise of a person to practice a religion.
Correct.
So I would say, based on the Constitution, we currently in America uphold this, and the Constitution supports that. So, at present time, there should not be an intermingling of law with any religion.
Agreed.
Now, that doesn't mean, and I think where it gets kind of blurred, is that doesn't mean that if a person believes in a certain truth for themselves, let's say based on the word of God, right? Going back to Michelle, what you're saying is that you uphold the tenets of the Bible. And so for you, certain things are true based on the scriptures. Yeah. And the same would be true for me. Mm-hmm. We have the right to believe those things, but we as Christians are not instructed in the Bible we read from to get entangled with the affairs of this world, and that would include politics. So Christian
nationalism, the idea is believe whatever you want and follow whatever rules you need to follow for your religion and for your culture. But we shouldn't be making laws about it, you know, and making everyone else do it.
Well, right. And the Constitution supports that. The Constitution says that no law should be based on any established religion. But that doesn't mean that a person may say, I disagree with a particular law. But that's different than saying our government should enforce it.
But lately, with Christian nationalism coming on the rise, it's feeling as though they do want to inflict Christian law among everyone else.
Well, can you give us an example? I'm just curious because I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about abortion things.
Well, yeah, I mean, Roe v. Wade is a perfect example.
Well, but I mean, to me, I feel like that's, I mean, that's, how do I even explain it as far as it being
and it's
religious?
Not even like abortion is in the Bible, so it's totally right.
Yeah, so I wouldn't even I mean I wouldn't have to use that. I wouldn't use that as an example. I'm just thinking just in general. I mean
you saying God needs to be in school. Well, you know, I want to go to school to learn, not worship God.
Right, but you're not worshiping God. You're you know, keeping like moral, I don't know if that's the right word, but I don't know. It's the Pledge of Allegiance.
Morality is a secular thing. I mean, every culture, you know, Christians didn't invent morality. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's
so it's not a God thing.
Mm-hmm. But, well, I mean, go ahead, Steph.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think that, look, God respects our free will.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say then we have to respect the free will of others. And that would include, you know, the free will to not believe in the God of the Bible or the free will to reject what the Word of God teaches. That's, you know, God allows a person to make that choice. As a believer, I believe that I'm also instructed to honor the free will decision of another. So if I'm a believer and I want to send my children to a school where they teach biblical principle, then maybe I have to choose a Christian-based school or choose to teach my kids at home. I think that's a different conversation than saying I have to force everybody to do something that in their heart isn't really even there anyway. I mean, just because a child is forced to pray to the God of the Bible when they're in fifth grade doesn't mean they're saved. Mm-hmm. Right. I pray, you know, it's like,
haven't we all?
You know, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think, look, the scripture teaches believers that we are here to fight the spiritual war, not the political war.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, a Christian is not, should not involve themselves in that, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, we are here to fight the spiritual war. The problem is sin, and sin is not resolved or solved through politics. It's solved through the preaching of the gospel. And then a person can choose to receive that gift of grace or choose to reject that gift of grace. That's what we're here to do. We're ambassadors for Christ as believers, and we're here to spread the gospel message, not to try to change policy. That's just not, the Bible doesn't even say we're even going to win that battle. That's not how the battle is fought. So for a Bible believing Christian who reads their Bible, they will not and would not involve themselves that deeply in politics.
It's funny because
it's not biblical.
I've been studying this, and there's actually a pretty large group called Christians Against Christian Nationalism. So
interesting.
I am not at all trying to assert that every Christian is also a Christian nationalist. Not at all.
No, yeah, we're not.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's actually a large group against it. But let me share my definition of it that I came up with that resonates with me. Christian nationalism is a political ideology and cultural framework that merges Christian and American identities, distorting both the Christian faith and America's promise of religious freedom. It relies heavily on a false narrative of America as a Christian nation founded by Christians in order to privilege Christianity. This mythical history betrays the work of the framers to create a federal government that would remain neutral when it comes to religion, neither promoting nor denigrating it, a deliberate break with the state-established religions of other colonies.
Well, again, and I would say based on what we just read in terms of the First Amendment and based on what the scriptures teach, I would agree with that it's a distorted narrative that distorts both what the Bible teaches as well as what the Constitution says. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I've been, so for example, I've been watching my father kind of fall down this political extremism rabbit hole for almost a decade now, where he's, you know, under the spell of right-wing media and Tucker Carlson and Rush Limbaugh and, you know, and he's just frothing at the mouth with anger and fear and paranoia. And that was bad enough, you know, that tore our family apart, because it's not just his, it's not just a difference in values and things that, you know, the way we would live our lives. And we were completely opposite in that way. You know, his misogyny or anything like that. And forget about the hypocrisy. I can go on about that all day, but it's also become his obsession. So it's not even just who he is, but it's an obsession now where it's a 24/7 frothing at the mouth, all he thinks about, all he does. And it's just so difficult to watch. And I cannot be the only one. There has to be someone in our audience that is struggling with this, where there's no relationship anymore, because if we're not arguing about politics, he just wants nothing to do with you. And now in recent years, he's become, you know, he's suddenly Christian. And so of course that's more aggravating. It just throws more salt in the wound, because it's like, Dad, you never cared about this stuff in your life. Where did this come from? But it fits the narrative, you know, so he's got to play the game and, you know, look the part, the whole image management thing we talked about on another episode. So it's just difficult. It's just difficult that this is, you know, this is the hill he wants to die on, right? It's just hard.
So sure, when you say it's, maybe we can give a voice to when you say it's destroying your family and destroying relationships. Can you maybe speak to that a little more, like how that is? So, you know, people can might identify with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's complete withdrawal from everyone and everything. I mean, the same way, like an addict, right? Like, you know, the withdrawal, the bouts of anger, the kind of bringing everything back to that. I mean, no matter what topic, you know, you could be talking about tomatoes in the garden and he'll mention Obama or something. And it's just like, dude, that's not what this is about. You know, he can't even hang out with his granddaughter and ask her how's school, because, you know, in the past you would ask your granddaughter how's school to hear her talk about her friends and what activity she likes to do. But when my father asks, we all know it's because he's trying to dig for, you know, what indoctrination she's under and, you know, what bizarre leftist evil stuff she's learning, and it's just so sad.
I see it happening, you know, with between people, between friends. I have a couple we go out with, and, you know, listening to the conversation, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, it could be scary, you know, but the world is changing. The world has definitely changed. And to me, I feel that it's changing for the worst, in my opinion. I feel that it's changing for the worst.
Is it possible that we're all just under the media spell, that there's just so much more worse going on than really?
I don't watch the media. I don't watch the news at all. I haven't watched the news in years. I don't care what's going on in the world because it sickens me. I just feel it is getting worse. I mean, I don't agree with having somebody, a male, a physical male fight, you know, going in the Olympics and winning over a woman because he's a man. I don't care if he, you know, puts a dress on and he identifies as a woman that day. He's born a man, and he should not be competing against a woman, because that, to me, you can't pick what your gender is. In my opinion, you just can't. That's not normal. Even if it wasn't biblical, which to me it's biblical, I listen to what God says, but even if just in general, how do you just change what you are, your sex? Like, today I identify as Minnie Mouse. So am I going to like walk around and it should be accepted that I'm Minnie Mouse today because I want to choose who it makes me happy to be Minnie Mouse? That shouldn't be. It's like, I just don't feel that's not normal in my head, in my eyes, but it's my opinion. I'm not trying to change anybody's minds. It's just my opinion.
Well, the way you explain it, you sure make it sound horrible, but.
Well, to me, I feel like it is because I think it is because it's like people are identifying with, it's not natural. Like, you have to think of the world, natural things. You can't, I'm a woman. I was born a woman. I have a vagina. What am I? I don't get it. I don't understand how I could say that I'm a man just because I cut my hair short and I take hormone. It's awful.
That would be Michelle, because you can't say it because you're not.
Right. But I know people who have messed up. There's the highest suicide rates too, with people who are changing their sex. All right. So that's just one aspect of it. Yes. That's pretty bad. Second aspect, abortion. I know this is a very hot topic, but to me, okay. You have your body. You want to have your rights. That's fine. But there's a human being in your stomach and you're killing it. And that poor human being should not be a result of something that somebody doesn't want to have to deal with or take care of because they got themselves in a mess and now they just want to get rid of it because they're not ready to do whatever the responsibilities of doing.
And
you're
that's
killing
not
it.
What abortion is, but let's that, just make sure we don't go too far down.
Right. Well, I'm just showing a couple of examples in my brain, how I'm seeing how, yes, things are getting worse. Things are in this world today. Yeah. No wonder why your dad is freaking out, because, you know, the schools are being, they are indoctrinating.
He's 80 and none of these things affect him.
Well, you're saying like he doesn't talk to his grandchild because he wants to know. Sure. You want to know, what are they teaching you in school? It's like, oh my gosh, they're teaching you that. I don't want to send my kid to kindergarten and have him read a book that's, you know, says daddy and daddy or mommy and mommy. And I should be the one to teach what that means. I shouldn't have my kid go to school and it being a normal thing.
Okay. Well, let's back up. Not every kid is learning this stuff, so we don't have to keep talking about it. Okay. Some of this is fear mongering and it's not happening. So can we all just relax?
am I hyper?
Just a little bit.
Am I high strung? Stephanie, you there?
You're passionate. Hey, I'm Italian.
That's right. I'm Italian.
That's normal for me. So
exactly. I'm talking.
I mean,
you know, are the hands going? The hands are going. Is the orchestra hands going?
The hands are going. Yeah. And look, I know there's going to be people out there who aren't going to agree with me, and that's fine. But I'm just, I'm just giving my opinion. I'm not a hater. I don't hate people. I have friends that are gay, like that. I love the person. I love, you know, that's fine. I'm not a hate. Like, I don't want you guys to think
okay,
that
but
I'm...
let's just back this anyway. Up. It's yeah. not about I hate this and I hate that and I don't agree with this or that. It's really more about denying rights. I mean, the government is supposed to protect people's rights. And so what is all this stuff about taking away rights? I don't give a shit if you agree with them or not, but
right.
don't take away rights. Well, don't force
what was taken away
things on people.
What's being taken away? What give me
well, bodily autonomy is a constitutional right. So that's just one thing.
Well, my understanding of what recently happened was that the Supreme Court said it's our responsibility to interpret what the Constitution says, not to make these decisions at the Supreme Court level. And so all they did was say, we're going to push that decision to the state level. So that's my understanding of all that happened here recently.
Yes, of course. But there's an agenda to make it. It'll be funny when they try to make it a national law, which they're working on. But all of a sudden, it's not federal anymore. That's weird.
What do you think about that, Steph?
Oh, no, I'm just saying, though, like, if we just stick with what happened, mm-hmm. didn't say you can't do this or you can't do that. All they said was it's not our responsibility to make those decisions and it belongs here. So all they did was just say, instead of it being in the marketing department, it's going to be in the, you know, the accounting department. They're just moving it to the correct department constitutionally. Now, where it goes from there, you know, I'm just saying that's all that happened.
No, I get it. That's of course the, you know, the title of what happened, but you know, there's clear, they're not stopping there. Let's put it that way. But all of this is
well, when you say they are not stopping, who's they?
Republicans.
I know there's definitely a big discord between Republicans and Democrats for sure. There's a people that are definitely fighting over that big time. And that part is really sad because it's getting violent. It's really bad. Like my parents, I'll give you an example. You know, they live in New Jersey and they are Trump fans. And they had a Trump flag up. It should be their right to be able to display whatever they want on their property. They have stacks, and I'm not even exaggerating, stacks of hate mail. They have graffiti being put on their house, on their sidewalk, just for that. You know, it's I'm afraid for them sometimes. They drive someplace and there's notes on their car. I'm afraid for the life, you know, that's how crazy it's getting where.
And that's relevant. Yeah. This discussion because
I think that's what I think that's what so Cheryl extreme. Is trying to raise right. is that, you know, if we're supposed to be a country where freedom of speech is enforced and we want that, we want to support that, the Constitution supports that. I just read it. Then freedom of speech is just that. People should be free to say what they want.
Right.
And you should be free to disagree with that and not be violent against another people group.
Right.
That share a different opinion. Like that's not okay.
Kind of it's like I think that's a common ground, right? We all agree we should be free to say what we want.
Right.
But we're getting to this point. And I was looking at some study the other day about, you know, what percentage of Democrats are still friends with Republicans and what percent of Republicans are still with friends with Democrats. And it is along the same lot, the same group, about 35% each. But most of them are, you know, most of us are pretty much like getting to, when I say us, I just mean like as a country, people are more likely to just not be able to be friends with the other side anymore. You know, like I started out this podcast with, it's no longer about, you know, you and I disagreeing about a tax rate. I mean, now it's like there are certain people that I'm like, your values, like what you stand for politically is just so, like I cannot I don't want to know a person who thinks that way or treats people that way, or, you know what I mean?
Well, yes, I would agree that that's happening.
Yeah.
And I know, cause I have clients that will call me and say, what is going on? We, you know, their families are divided. And it's true.
In other words, if you're going to take away women's rights, you know, then you're going to have women not want to be friends with you, that things like that.
I think for me, I'm thinking, okay, like the freedom of speech thing. Yeah. We should be able to have freedom of speech and all, but there are things that I shouldn't have to be forced to accept though. Like there are things that, I don't know. I don't know.
We have freedom of speech, but we also have capitalism. So, you know, a private company can kick you off their platform if they want to, things like that. You know.
And that's fine. But don't force things that I don't align with. The same thing with you guys, I guess. It has to go both ways. It can't just
What do you feel like you're being forced to do?
Well, okay. So let's say, taking away like the nativity set, let's say, you know, oh, we can't do that now. We're not doing that anymore because it's only, you know, dealing with Christianity, or it's only going to be Jews. Oh, and it's just those two. So we're just going to take it away altogether.
Saying that, Michelle? School?
Who does that?
I don't know. Aren't they doing that now? Like a lot of places aren't really putting up, well, schools.
I don't think people should be putting them up anyway. But I mean,
I mean,
it's more of a Christmas decoration, right?
Yeah, it's not really the meaning. But I don't know, so the schools. I don't know if they're doing this. I know in California, I believe they are doing it, but you know, forcing like gay marriages on my young children. I don't have young children.
You're forcing your young kids to have a gay wedding?
No. No, introducing like books. I'm talking about books, or you're not allowed to say gay. You're not allowed to. There's a lot of things. Like, all right.
So referring more, Michelle, to like exposure.
Exposure, and then you think about race. Yeah,
so
racism
is way different than exposing you to it.
All right, I mean things like Aunt Jemima. That, if you're talking about race, you know, that's another thing that they took Aunt Jemima off the shelves. Why? Because it's just getting crazy where it's like, you have to watch what you say. It really isn't freedom of speech anymore, because you have to watch it now. And I don't know. This was a bunny trail, I guess. I don't even know. I made my little point, but I'm just trying to say.
No, Michelle, you're giving a voice to something that's important. It's just that, I think you used the word I'm being forced.
Yeah,
but it doesn't sound like you're being forced. It sounds like more what the concern, and maybe I'm not hearing you right, but what it sounds like is the concern is you mentioned your kids, what your kids are being exposed to in our world today versus maybe 50 years ago.
Right.
That's what you're concerned about, where they're normalizing things in a way where you're concerned that they may start engaging in those things.
It's being accepted. And to me, I don't display my sex life. You know, it's kind of like that should be behind closed doors. What you want to do is what you do, whatever. It shouldn't be in my face all the time. Not that I'm not saying I'm homophobic, cause I'm not, but I don't need to be, I know I'm using the word forced, but let's give another. All right. So the vaccine, for instance, that's another thing we could talk about. That's being, people are being forced for that.
Forced to take the vaccine.
Well, all right. So my son can't go on a cruise. Why? Because he's not vaccinated. So
that's
what is that?
Same thing as being forced.
But what is
it
that
just
then?
Means if you want to join
to being taken away,
party, you need to do these things.
Well, that's ridiculous, because
it's not force. I just want to make that clear.
I find it being forced. People are losing their jobs. Why? Because they're not vaccinated. People are. I mean, you go to New York City, I hear you can't even go into a restaurant without showing your vax card. That's what is that? That's being like, you can't join. Yeah. You can't join the party if you're not vaccinated. That's not right. I don't,
but it's not force.
that to me is, I see it as forced. I see it as forced. I see it as if you can't, you can't join the party if you're not vaccinated.
Aren't there millions of people who didn't get vaccinated?
Yeah.
Then they clearly weren't forced to.
No, but they can't go on cruises. They can't, it's like that. What's going to happen if it gets worse? They can't travel. They can't, there are things they can't do. And what's going to happen? No, really. If they, what
the privilege has been taken away.
Well, yeah. What's going to happen if buying and selling food, all of a sudden you're not going to be able to go to a supermarket if you're not vaxxed? Then what?
Mm-hmm. No one's taken away your access to essentials.
Yet.
They're coming for you, Michelle.
See, and that's,
they are coming for you.
That's what I'm, that's where I
they're
see.
They're coming for my dad too.
See, I was just going to say that. That's where your dad is, because he's seeing the writing on the wall. And that's what we're, that's the whole point too, is that that's what the division is that we're seeing the writing on the wall, because we go by what the Bible says and what God says and his values. And we're seeing the things that are biblical that's going to happen, and we're seeing it, and that's why we're like, okay, this is lining up, this is what's happening.
This is prophecy.
Well, some of it is prophecy. Yeah, I mean, it is. If you read Revelation, if people read Revelation or Thessalonians,
haven't Christians been saying it's the end of times for eons now?
Yeah, definitely. But but you could see the lining up of certain things that are happening, and you're like, whoa, that's definitely biblical.
But Michelle, let me respond to the point that you're bringing up, because the way I'm hearing it is, you know, you said the world is changing.
Yeah.
I think everyone would agree to that. Maybe how it's changing, people would have a different opinion of, but that it's changing, I mean, I think everybody sees that. But I think this, what you're bringing up, it drives back to, in my opinion, the importance of parents at home, if you're a parent, right, to really get your kids strong in the word. Because then, even though they may, to your point, like be exposed to certain things and things are acceptable, it doesn't mean that they have to choose those ways, or to choose to do those things, or to participate in those things. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's important to really, you know, personally, and then also if a person is a parent, build your kids up in the word, and don't worry about what laws are being passed or not passed, right? Because if a person is spiritually solid, then they're not going to get involved in those things, right? They're going to be able to make a choice for themselves that aligns with the scripture, irrelevant of what laws are being passed. So that, you know, again, this is, we're not called to really try to fight the system or fight the government or change policy. We're here to, you know, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make those who are dead in their sins alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're here to preach everlasting life through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It's great that you bring that up.
Of what laws are being passed.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, people are going to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even those who are saved still sin. So, you know, you're not gonna escape sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the solution is not let's change laws so people have a harder time sinning. Right? The solution is get saved, receive the gospel of grace, and read the Bible and grow spiritually, right? Not try to change the law so that people won't do things that are against the Bible. Like people who think like that are going about it the wrong way, and their focus is on the wrong thing if they're believers. So, but we have to, fight the spiritual battle. Look, if let's go the other way. Let's say, you know, okay, Christians are successful and they change policy and now all of a sudden homosexual marriage is against the law. Okay, if a person's not saved, they're still going to die and go to hell. What did that do? Mm-hmm. What did that do? It did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, because I've been struggling with why it's so important to Christians or Christian nationalists, whoever, to make these laws. Like, dude, who at the end of the day, right? The end of the day, we, Stephanie, you and I and Michelle, we established a long time ago that only 4% of the planet is going to heaven. So,
or like from that survey.
Yeah, that study.
Yeah, 4% even knew the correct gospel according to that South Florida poll that Michelle, you found that article that we read.
So I just can't imagine all this work for what?
Well, that's it. The thing is that their focus is on the world, the flesh. They're walking in the flesh rather than walking in the spirit. And for those Christian nationalists, is they have their eye on the wrong thing.
Yeah, I was reading an article and the journalist put it, I just like the way she put it. She said, they're following a different Jesus than the one depicted in the Gospels.
Amen. Totally agree with that. Whoever wrote
they
that.
They follow the Jesus. Here's what she said. They follow the Jesus depicted in the book of Revelation, the warrior with eyes like flames of fire and a robe dipped in blood who led the armies of heaven on white horses in a final triumphant battle against the forces of the Antichrist. Because yes, and that pulls us back into the whole, like, it's getting more violent today.
Yes, there is a denomination of Christians. I can't remember the name of them. They call themselves something, but they have this understanding, which is totally unbiblical, that Christians are supposed to bring in everlasting righteousness. Like the body of Christ is responsible for bringing in righteousness to the world. No, that is not our job, right? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. We are here, like I said, we are given the ministry of reconciliation. That is what the Bible says, that the believers today, the body of Christ, our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation, which means we're here to preach the gospel of grace to help reconcile people back to God through the gospel of grace. That's it. Not to go march in front of Washington with signs. And now that doesn't mean that a believer shouldn't, you know, uphold the truth of the scriptures. But then I would say that's more of a personal walk with the Lord, which is why it kind of goes back to, regardless of what laws are being passed, if a person is walking according to the word, then it doesn't really matter what laws are passed or not passed. So for example, it's kind of like, you know, the whole campaign on drugs, say no to drugs. Well, you know, if you don't need drugs, then whether, you know, they're legal, illegal, it doesn't matter. Like, you're just not going to get yourself wrapped up in that, you know? So
right, I think, but to your point, a law against drugs would be about the safety and welfare of the community, not because it's against someone's religion to do drugs.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And if that's kind of what I'm saying, like, whatever the law is,
and obviously
nobody's forcing a person right. to do that.
Right.
Right. I cannot, and Michelle, let's be honest, right? There's nothing that we can point to that legally right now is forcing a believer to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like they're saying I don't have to give an example. You get what I'm saying? There's nothing that you are able to live a life right now, according to the scriptures, if you so choose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the reverse is also true. You also have more of an opportunity now to live outside of what the scriptures teach if you so choose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there was a time when homosexual marriage was not allowed. They did, you know? So, you know, maybe for people that wanted to engage in that, that wasn't an option for them. So yes, there are more opportunities for people to do things outside of what the Word of God says, but there's also, you also have the equal opportunity to live a Christian life right now if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point is human beings should have the right to do that. So mm-hmm. Michelle, if I want to be transgender, or, you know, if I want to change my sex, or if I want to marry a woman, I mean, you could totally disagree, but
yeah,
you should not be allowed to stop me from doing it.
No, I wouldn't. And I'm not saying I would do that.
I'm still a human being that deserves rights.
Right. And that's
fine. Taking human rights away is weird to me.
Right. And that's fine. How is that biblical? But my thing is, forcing, again, I'm using that word force, but I am a black and white thinker.
Because you feel forced when you're
if I don't agree with it, let's say, but you're going to, okay, that's your right. That's your right. If you want to be a man, okay, that's your right. But I don't want it to be thrown.
So then don't be friends with, don't invite that person to dinner.
No, and that's fine. No,
but you can't stop them from showing up in a school or a store.
Right. I'm not saying stop it, but what bothers me is the woman of the year, you know, it's being all over the news, or it's being, you're not allowed to say this.
All right.
That bothers me. That bothers me.
Can we not go off on like one hit wonders?
No, but it's more, but it's,
by the way, who is the woman of the year? Like, I don't even know who that is.
I forgot his name. It's a guy, and, or like Jenner, that guy, Jenner. You know, oh, you got to call him Caitlin now, and he's on TV, he's all over the, I don't want to be forced to find that acceptable. I don't agree with it, but I'm not going to stop you. You want to do it, that's fine, but don't stick it in my face. I don't want to see it, you know.
Well
then again, I would just say that
corner either, just because you might see them.
Well, no, I mean, I just don't
want to have the same, the point is they have the same rights as you, they're humans,
right? He's a man. Don't tell me he's a woman, because he's not. He's a man.
I get it.
That's the part that I'm saying. I don't care. You could be on TV.
But that's also
a
one-off. So I don't want to spend this hour talking about one weird issue.
Or but that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, it's like, if you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, you're a woman. If you want to change your sex, that's fine. Do it. If it makes you happy and you feel comfortable, that's your right. Do it. But I'm still going to say you're a man. Don't punish me or get mad at me because I'm not agreeing with you being a woman.
What you're saying. Yeah. Okay. So Michelle, what you're saying is that if you were to, let's say, have a coworker,
yes,
who is a transgender,
mm-hmm,
and let's just say it's a man biologically who,
right,
transgender, who is transitioning into being a woman.
Right.
You're saying you want to maintain the right.
Yes.
To say he and him.
Yes. And go to the men's room.
And not have to be told that you have to call him, she, or her.
Right. Yes. Or go to the bathroom in your bathroom. Like, yeah, okay, I don't want a man in my bathroom.
So what do you think about that? Okay.
I'm just not, I'm not good at explaining myself, to tell you the truth. And I'm glad that you are there to decipher what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Yes.
Tell me what I think.
Go ahead. So what do you think about Michelle having the right to that?
Well, she does. I mean, mm-hmm, I have the right to call you an idiot or something, you know. I mean, we can all call
that's true. Michelle, you have the right,
you can call another person whatever the heck you want to,
Mickey Mouse if you want, right?
Yeah, you know, you could make up a name, but I personally want to respect people and call them by whatever name they want to be called by, just like you want to be called by Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll address you however you want to be addressed. It doesn't faze me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So because this might be a real situation for someone listening, mm-hmm, right?
Sure.
So maybe the best approach would be to have a sit down one-on-one conversation with the person and say, look, here's where I'm coming from. here's where you're coming from. How can we meet in the middle? Right?
Yeah, because look, Michelle, if you feel like you physically cannot say the words when it doesn't feel real to you, that could be a conversation you could have with this person, even right. though I can imagine.
You could say like, I feel like me supporting something that I believe is leading you farther from who you really are mm-hmm. is not an act of love towards you. And so, you know, I would feel more comfortable calling you blank, 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 or would you be okay with that? Right. Like maybe it just needs more context for the person rather than, it just seems like people today are just defaulting into these arguments rather than like really sitting down, taking time to say, like, here's my position. Here's how I see it. It's not that I want to be disrespectful. It's not that I want to hate you. It's just that here's my point of view of it. I believe I'm showing you more love by, you know, doing this. And maybe in that conversation, the person may see it or may not agree with it, but at least say, okay, well, if you're more comfortable calling me this, then call me that.
Yeah. I feel like the bottom line is I understand, Cheryl, what you're saying about the fighting and the division and everything, because it's always going to be there, because I have my opinion where I don't want it to be forced in my face. I don't want it to be acceptable. And then that person also, their rights, they want it to be acceptable. So they're not agreeing with me. So either way, it's always going to be, I don't agree, but there's always going to be conflict. It's like the bottom line is you just have to, I don't even know what you have to do. It's like you live with your dad, you don't agree with him. He doesn't agree with you. So what do you do? You know, it's like how do you live among that?
He's out there trying to take away rights. So that makes me say that's despicable.
Well, I think that's where I the right part, taking away rights. I think that's where I'm kind of like, I feel that way as far as you're saying they're taking away my rights, and I'm saying don't force your rights in my face. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want, to me, I don't find certain things acceptable. And that's my opinion, but you are fighting because you want it to be acceptable. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's where there's that division, is because what rights? Give me an example of like, if you're going to, I know you're probably not going to use the abortion right, or I don't know, maybe you will, but I don't,
you
go ahead.
Use a voting. What about a voting right?
Okay. Well, yeah. Then what is the, I don't see it.
But even just the right to be who I am, right? Let's say I am transgender or gay, right? Okay. I mean, I shouldn't be required to hide from you because you don't want to see it.
No. You don't have to hide from me. That's fine. you could be who you want to be, but just don't make it like, to me, in my opinion, I don't find it, I don't want to use the word acceptable, but in my views, biblically, it's not acceptable, but I'm going to live amongst you.
Accept it, but
right. But you're forcing it, but people are forcing their rights on the things that I don't agree with, where it's the, you see what I'm saying? Like there's a,
no, I don't.
Okay. But guys, think about it this way, right? So Michelle, let's use the transgender situation, right? Yeah. You know, someone who's transgender and they're putting their foot down and they're saying, look, if you want to be my friend, you're going to refer to me as my chosen pronouns. And if you refuse to do that, then I don't want to be friends with you. And if you come back and say, well, that doesn't make me comfortable because I don't believe that that's loving you, mm-hmm. then don't be friends.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
That's where then that's you have it. To say, well, I can't honor what you need. And the other person may say, well, then I can't honor what's comfortable for you. Right. So
it's a boundary. Boundaries.
Then right. you just don't be friends. Like,
right. Setting boundaries. And that's
like,
fine.
You don't have to like be friends with everybody. Right.
So I'm not taking your right away. So you're saying that we're taking people's rights away. That's not, I don't see it that way.
No. When I refer to taking rights away, I'm specifically talking about political movements and laws being passed to oppress. I'm not
right. And, but this is where I'm trying to say that's your Your struggle is that. My struggle is the same thing, but on the opposite way. Politically, don't tell me that I have to accept, you know, certain things that I don't agree with. So it
you
goes
don't both, have to accept right, it.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it both
Stephanie
ways.
Just told you, you don't have to be friends with that person.
No, but what I'm saying, I don't know how to explain it. What I'm saying is you're upset at the political party for taking away your rights. I'm upset with the political party throwing rights down my throat that I don't feel is right.
Okay, what right
does that make sense
to either of you feel you don't have
this for us?
wait, what rights? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't feel right now in 2022,
right now,
I cannot give you an example of any of my rights I feel I don't
Thank
have.
God. Because what if they take away our rights to read the Bible like they're doing in other countries?
Okay, that would be a problem, but that's that not happening right now.
It's not, but what if it's, but it could be
well,
on
now
its
we're
way.
Talking about communism. Now we're under
nothing,
a different.
There's nothing American about that. Okay. You have every right.
Yeah, because according to what Amendment 1 that we just read, it says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, meaning of religion.
Okay.
So if they prohibit us from reading the Bible, then they're in violation of Amendment 1. And now we're not upholding the Constitution.
I got one. They're trying to take my right to take away my gun. They're trying to take away the right of being armed.
Who is taking your gun away, Michelle?
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? Have you been in the news? I don't watch the news, but it's all over. It's like the government is like, people are trying to, they're fighting, they're protesting. They want to take the rights of the American people guns away.
They don't.
I see it.
Well, I don't know where you're seeing it because I'm the party that you're accusing and we are not doing that.
All right. Well, you're part of a party that wants to.
Okay. So let's get a little more specific. Michelle, like for people who like aren't following this or don't know about
there are
this,
no
like,
bans on guns. There is no law saying.
So what are you afraid, God, Michelle, is going to happen?
If they take
what are
my,
you hearing? What are you hearing that you're going to say, I can't own a gun?
What am I? Well, that's, I'm hearing through like my husband. He follows a lot of these. I don't know who he listens to, but he listens to a lot of.
Well, Fox News will tell you.
No, we don't watch Fox.
They're trying to take your guns away, but they're lying.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
There is literally no bill in the Senate or in the House talking about taking guns away.
But you said that you're part of that party. So what are you guys trying to do? Are you guys sitting back or are you trying to do it?
Can we get some specifics?
Truthfully, would you be happy if they took the rights of the gun people, the guns away from people?
No,
if you're part
nobody
of a party.
Wants that. Oh, nobody wants that.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. I mean, that's true.
So,
nobody...
Michelle, did your husband share with you any details? Like,
no.
The only difference is we want common sense laws around them, like
yes.
background checks,
yes.
or
yes,
you know, or maybe like, you know, a wartime assault rifle should
right.
not, you know, a 5-year-old should not be allowed to buy it. I mean,
and
like
I agree.
That.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you guys are in agreement.
We're in
but
agreement.
That has, the problem.
But Michelle, that has nothing to do with taking all your guns
good.
Away.
Good. Okay.
No one's doing that.
There you go. Perfect. I'm on your side with that. Then I should
want
be
to talk
part
about
of...
extremism.
Yeah. Well, then then I should be part of that party because I agree with everything you said. It should be the background check should definitely be stronger. They shouldn't own assault rifles, especially 19-year-old.
There should
whatever.
Be a little bit of a process.
Sure.
You can own a gun.
Exactly.
That's all.
And I agree. But so I guess
you know,
it's
so
just
fear again. That's all fear mongering. That
right?
Ooh, they're coming for my guns.
All right. Well then, okay. You're right. So what's another example?
Okay.
Then?
So what other right?
Yeah. What other right?
Does any? Because again, I'm gonna say right now in America in 2022, right now I don't feel personally like I don't have the right to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So is there something that you guys want to do that?
No,
you
I think
the
three of us
is saying you can't do.
The three of us are definitely in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So but
do
we're
you
not
know
the only
of someone
in the nation?
So let's go outside. Do we know of someone who the law is saying you can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not a law. I'm just saying it's not a law. I hope not. I'm talking about the whole, my son wants to go on a cruise and he had to get a doctor's note and they wouldn't let him on the cruise because he's not vaxxed. I find that to be crazy. I don't know if that's a law. I mean, could they arrest him for going on anyway? You know what I mean? Like, I don't, is that just policy or what is that? Is that a law or policy?
I think that falls into the category of a
policy.
Privately owned business
they require vaccination, then find a boat that doesn't.
Right, right.
Well, okay, but now wouldn't this also though apply to a company that says I don't want to service a certain group of people?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Wouldn't it apply both ways?
Right, discrimination.
No, because one is discrimination because I hate you as a person. And another one is saying for the health and safety of everyone on this boat. How could you
but if it's a privately owned company and that privately owned company hates white people and they don't want to.
Right. The health and
don't
safety.
They have as a private.
Then they're not.
Company,
no, because there are laws governing that you cannot discriminate based on race, sex, gender, blah, 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 blah. That's common knowledge. Everybody knows that one.
And religion is in that? Do we know and where that is?
Religion, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then where's the health part of it? Because if you think about it.
When there's public safety, health involved, they can, it's not discrimination. It's hey, we need to contain this. You can't come around here if you're sick.
But that goes with people who are vaxxed too. Do you see that people who are vaxxed and boosted are getting as sicker than the people who aren't? They're spreading it. The vaccine
is getting sicker. Yes,
the vaccine does not work.
Of course, you can
still
get it.
Yeah, and people are blaming the people who aren't vaxxed when it's pretty much it's everybody and anybody spreads this sickness. It's not the unvaxxed. And against the as another thing that's going on, it's like the vaxxed and unvaxxed are fighting with each other because they're being fed, you know, the wrong information. And it's just that's getting crazy too, what's happening in the world. The public, you just said public safety of the people. Okay, but there are people who are vaxxed. I know I don't even know how many people who are vaxxed and boosted, double boosted, and they're sick.
So. Yes.
But I don't want to get sick from
it's
them.
Just the difference between having a flu and dying. That's all.
Well, I know people, I had it.
Personally, I'd rather have a flu.
Yeah. I mean, I had COVID and I'm not vaxxed and I'm good. Thank God. Knock on wood, you know, and I know a lot of people who.
Okay. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah. But that's the thing.
The rule doesn't apply to everybody.
Well, I just that whole thing is a mess. Anyway, what other right do you think? Are you talking about? You mentioned earlier about the abortions. Is that, you know, or the right to your body or?
Well, there's certain. I mean, it doesn't apply to the three of us anymore because we're not childbearing age anymore. But young girls today are definitely younger, and women of, you know, older women. 30s, 40s, still childbearing and have serious issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be harder for them to, you know, to find their way out and to get the care they need.
That's kind of few and far between. Remember we had the abortion podcast, and it's like, you know, that health issues is, you know, few and far between. People are.
I don't know why you say that.
But it's
every single day, thousands of women.
Mm-hmm.
I read heartbreaking stories every single day.
Where are you reading them? I mean, can you share one with us? I don't know.
No, I'm not gonna. Like, I don't want to get into that here. I mean, that's not what this podcast is about, but, there's just, just the bottom line of, you don't know the devastating, traumatic thing that a woman is going through. And for her to not be able to choose her own care, it just breaks my heart. And that Republican trope of, oh, you just, you know, went out and got laid and made a mistake. And that's not what abortion is at all. It just makes me sick.
Well, but anyway. And I'm sick on the opposite way, because I see it as a human life being killed, and I'm sick over that.
The woman is a human too.
I get it, but
should be able to not die if she shouldn't have to.
Right, and I agree with you that if there's a woman who her life is going to be at risk,
but it's her. It just has to be her choice between her and her doctor what is best for her. It should not be a politician telling me what to do with my body. That's all I'm going to say. And I don't want to get all upset about this again. So let's get back to the topic. If we can.
Stephanie?
No, I'm just Stephanie,
you need to intervene again.
Are you there?
I'm eating popcorn. Though.
Are you eating popcorn?
I'm just sitting back on
popcorn. Look, this is what we hear. We did this.
Make that. We need to have that like that crunching noise on the
right. I gotta edit that.
Yeah, like a sound bite.
The munching sound. It's like
a munching sound.
You eating potato chips? What are you doing?
Stephanie, are you there? Crickets.
Guys, it's like actually reality TV. Time to wrap up.
So. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. I have to go right. Soon.
Yeah.
Well, I think we definitely had a very lively conversation about this, and I think it's very real for a lot of people.
I don't know. I think I want to cut myself out because I sound like a I sound like I'm a prejudiced homophobe.
I love it. Oh no, girl.
I feel like I'm a homophobe.
I think you're bringing up some good points, Michelle. And what's important for people to step back and see is that right now, whatever, if you're a Christian, right, and you want to live according to biblical tenets, you can, right? The laws right now are not prohibiting you from doing that. And
agreed.
And then I would say the same in reverse. If you're not a believer and you want to do certain things that maybe years ago you weren't allowed to do, I would say that the laws are probably more in their favor now than before. Mm-hmm. Right. So
correct.
You know, it just seems like, well. It seems like there's a lot of fighting around mindsets. It's like different mindsets are just kind of clashing.
Yes.
And look, the bottom line is a biblical worldview is different than a secular worldview. They're two different worldviews. The Bible even says it's two different worldviews. So to think that people who have two different worldviews are going to agree, they're not, right? So,
but there's no reason that they can't come together in a secular way in terms of, you know, everybody can agree on things like, I mean, everyone has different morals and values, but it's not, in other words, what pisses me off is that I feel like the message is that only Christians have morals and values and the rest of us are just like these heathens. You know, it's so stupid. I mean, you didn't invent morals. God didn't invent morals.
Well, that's not even a biblical thing either. So, the Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, no, not one. So any Christian that thinks that they're more righteous than anyone else has to go back and read their Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus Christ did not come to make bad people good. He came to bring dead people life. Mm-hmm. So the narrative, if there's Christians out there that are hung up on be a Christian, be a good person, they've missed the point.
That's what I feel like. And again, you know, maybe it's just my skewed, you know, from my perspective, from where I stand politically and all that. I feel like that's what the other side is saying. Like, we're Christians and we have values and you guys are evil. And it's like, I've never met more evil people than who I'm looking at on the screen right now.
Me? Us?
It's just so, no, I'm sorry, not you. I meant if I was watching TV. I meant if I was watching TV and watching politicians on TV.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I mean, sure.
I'm preaching and I'll be like, dude, your rap sheet is longer than
stop watching the news. Stop watching the news.
Well, you know, Cheryl, you asked the question in the questions that you sent. You said if some young generations are looking at the narrative of Christian nationalism and then they get this idea, well, if this is Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. How do we stop this? My response to that would be the way to stop this is to turn the TV off and start reading their Bibles.
Yeah.
Because there's so much out there with the label Christianity that has nothing to do with biblical Christianity at all.
But I just feel like the Christianity in politics right now is so unbiblical.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
You know, and so if young people are watching that, they're going to go, yeah, I don't want to be a Christian. You know? Yeah.
Sure. And yeah. That's why it's so important to for believers, I would say for believers to really represent the truth of the word correctly, because so much of it is not.
Yeah.
I was thinking of this analogy. It's kind of like a Louis Vuitton knockoff handbag. It's yes. Like just because it says Louis Vuitton doesn't make it real.
It's so true. And
I was thinking about that with the word Christianity. Just because the word Christian is slapped on the title doesn't make it real. You know, and unless a person is studying the scriptures, they're not going to know the difference. You know, in banking, when they train bank tellers to know a counterfeit bill, the way they train them is they teach them to study what a real bill looks like. And so that when a counterfeit comes along, they're able to recognize it immediately because they know what the real McCoy looks like. I would say the word of God is to be used that same way, that the more a person knows what the scriptures teach, the easier it's going to be for them to spot a counterfeit. And I'm telling you, right. There's a lot of counterfeits out there. Mm-hmm. Most of the churches
and
today
my point
are counterfeits.
Is most of the counterfeits are yeah. They have a platform.
Yep.
That's my point. They're in the media. Yep. Or, you know, they have a platform. Whereas if you and I are or not me, I guess personally, but Michelle and you are practicing Christianity, you know, to perfection, no one sees you do that. So I'm just talking about the media where people can watch that and they're in their just not coming across.
Right. Yeah. And that's where I right. The media is encouraging things that I don't agree with. And they're encouraging things that you don't agree with. So that's where the division comes. It's the media, though, I feel is they're the ones who's causing a lot of the divisions. They should just mind their business. Just stick with the news, like what's happening. There was an accident, you know, on 95 yesterday. It's going to rain today. Seriously, that's all the news should be.
Weather.
Just stick to the damn weather. Like, they're just causing the divisions. The news, people are getting crazy over it.
Sure, I would agree with that, Michelle, that it's propaganda. Yeah. A lot of it is just propaganda.
All propaganda.
To create division.
Yep.
Really and that's is. And that's what we're seeing happening, right? Yeah. What's that old saying, united we stand, divided we fall?
Yeah.
You want to take down a nation.
Yeah.
Oh, this is like the new form of warfare now, you know?
It really is.
They use information and propaganda to mold the minds of people so that people argue about stuff.
Right.
You know? And right. It's just like, I think this is a great topic because we have to stop with the arguing and... You know, people, I'm just going to go back to what I started with in the beginning, which is, you know, God, the biblical God, honors a person's free will. He doesn't force anything on someone. You know, he presents his grace through the gospel. You don't want it, don't take it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that as believers, as children of God, I would say we have to have that same attitude, you know, and we shouldn't be arguing with people. Mm-hmm. And the problem really is, like I said, it's a sin problem, and it's not solved by changing policy. So Christians should not be fighting that war.
It's actually a power problem, you know, because at the end of the day, none of it has to do with whose religion is right. It just has to do with power. Mm-hmm. And this is such a great way to get it, by dividing people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On that note, gotta go.
Guys, I think this cool thing. It was awesome.
Yeah, okay. good topic.
All right. Let's
all right. Well, I guess till next time.
Yes, till next time.
Woo, everybody take a breather.